morning's reading will be from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew 5, verse 9 from the New American Standard. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let me begin, if I could, just by giving some thanks to a few people. What a blessed morning it has been already. Adam, you did a great job with your prayer, my friend. How old are you?
11.
You did a wonderful job. Thank you. And thank you for praying that God would be with people, especially if they're cold. I really appreciate that. Did you do a good job? Yeah. Derek, thank you for your comments at the table. We're doing something that matters here. I'm grateful for that reminder. Marion, thanks for the song service and for your leadership there. We have been in a series on the Beatitudes, as you know, and Ron Alfonso, thank you for what you've done in partnering with me in preaching through the Beatitudes. And I've heard several people comment on how much they've enjoyed thinking about what Jesus said in the Beatitudes and enjoyed your sermons. They didn't say anything about mine, so I don't know what that means. But I really do appreciate that. Alfonso and Ron and I are going to be talking after services for just a few moments. We're going to be moving into a new series as this Beatitude series comes to an end. So we'll come back with you, to you about what the next season of the pulpit life looks like. If you would, let's quote the Beatitudes, and I'll
it's off.
It's off. On the side. You read the parts. I'll read the part in white. You read the part in yellow, okay? So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think that's supposed to be yellow. In another lifetime, it was yellow. I was a blonde in another lifetime, so, you know, things change. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So there are two more Beatitudes left. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are the persecuted. So let me tell you a series of stories and think about what does it mean to take Jesus seriously when he says it's the peacemakers who are blessed. You hear a noise deep in the night. You think nothing of it until you hear another noise. You throw back the covers, fit your slippers on your feet, and go out of the doorway that leads to the hall. It's dark in the hall. You can barely see anything except a movement catches your eye. And suddenly, with great clarity, you see someone you don't know standing at the far end of the hallway, just outside your daughter's room. You think of the baseball bat that's leaning behind your bedroom door. You think about your daughter's safety. What does it mean to be a peacemaker in a situation like that? Does it mean anything? You've taught a children's class on a Sunday morning, and the kids have all gone back to their parents. You're kind of cleaning up the mess and putting away the exercises you've done that morning, and busy trying to hurry up so you can get into worship, when suddenly you hear some voices talking just outside the classroom door. And as you focus in more and more on what the voices are saying, you realize that they're speaking some pretty critical words, some harsh words. They're talking about people you know, and they're not saying nice things about them. They're making cutting remarks, sarcastic remarks. They're making remarks that make you distinctly uncomfortable. What should you do? Should you clear your voice and say, I can hear you? Or should you say nothing, because if you say something, they may talk about you that way? Should you report them to someone? What does it mean to be a peacemaker in a situation like that? You bring a couple's home for dinner. There were two or three other couples there, and in the course of the evening, your spouse shared a funny story about you, only it was a story you found pretty embarrassing. I know this has never happened to you personally. And in the way of things, people wouldn't let the story go. For the rest of the evening, they would keep going back to that and kind of picking at it like you would a scab. And what started off as being just embarrassing becomes irritating, and finally you're pretty angry. And now you're in the car, driving home at the end of the evening, and there is stony silence in the car. Your spouse reaches over and touches your arm and says, I'm sorry I told that story. I think I may have hurt your feelings. But you're not ready to let go of your anger yet. You're still mad about it, and so you say nothing at all. What does it mean when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers in a situation like that? We have a pretty conflicted relationship with this beatitude. We struggle to know what Jesus is saying when he's talking about being a peacemaker. Is he saying that we ought to be pacifists? Is he saying that Christians should never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, no matter what's at stake, resort to violence of any sort? That our role is always to say, hey, let's all just get along together? When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, is he talking about peace with God? Is he talking about inner peace? Is he talking about world peace or relational peace? We know that the history of Christianity has not been a particularly peaceful history. That people acting in the name of Christ have not always acted peacefully or with peaceful intent.
A fellow by the name of Warren Austin was America's UN ambassador in 1948 when the Middle East war was going on. He actually stood up in the UN and told Arabs and Jews that they needed to get along like good Christians. Yeah, not only did he show incredibly bad taste, not only was he amazingly insensitive, but apparently he forgot much of the history in which people who called themselves Christians conducted themselves. Sadly, we as the people of the Prince of Peace have often resorted to pretty violent and brutal ways of getting our way. So we read, blessed are the peacemakers, and you know, we're all for peace in principle. We all value peace in theory. But putting peace into practice is much harder for us. We struggle to know what that means. We find ourselves confused about being peacemakers. Part of the problem with Christians and peace is Jesus himself. Jesus in his life does not make understanding what it means to be a peacemaker easy on us. A lot about peace. He came preaching peace, peace, but you don't have to search very far in the Gospels to realize that there wasn't a lot of peace in Jesus' own ministry. When I think about the prophecies that were made about Jesus and that Jesus was the Messiah was coming, Isaiah, 600 years before Jesus was born, called Jesus the Prince of Peace. He imagined the kingdom of the Messiah being a peaceable kingdom where the lion lay down with the lamb. Do you remember that passage? Where everything got along, where everything loved each other. And yet, do you realize that the very first prophecy in the Old Testament about the Messiah was a prophecy of violence? When God tells the serpent that one would come who would crush his head, who would kill him. That's Jesus he's talking about. And do you remember the very last prophecy in Scripture about the Messiah? It has the Messiah riding into judgment on a white horse, and it talks about him making war, talks about his eyes like blazing fire. He talks about the Messiah leading the armies of heaven. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. He strikes down nations. He presses the winepress of God's fury and God's wrath. Guys, you don't get the Nobel Peace Prize for acting like this. This is not a peaceful image. But the prophecy goes beyond, the problem goes beyond the prophecies about Jesus. Think about the problem of peace in the Gospels. What were the angels announcing when Jesus was born? Come on, we're close enough to Christmas, you can still remember the Christmas carols. Peace on earth, right? And yet, 40 days after Jesus was born, this is what Simeon, a prophet in the temple, said about Jesus. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Throughout his ministry, Jesus preached peace. And yet, this Prince of Peace would tell his disciples, don't suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I'm sorry, guys, that's confusing. Isn't it? Peacemaker? I didn't come to bring peace? Especially
especially when we watch how Jesus interacts with the Pharisees, it's hard to know what it means to be a peacemaker. His clashes with the Pharisees were literally a battle to the death. The conflict between Jesus and the leaders of the day was constant and acerbic. The one who would say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," would tell the Pharisees this: "Woe to you, teachers of the law, hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to make a convert, and you make him a son of hell like you are. Blind fools, snakes, brood of vipers." So, what kind of peace is Jesus asking us to make when he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers"? Peacemaking, the kind that Jesus tells us about in this beatitude, has to be understood in the context of Jesus' own life. We can't pull a word or phrase out of the teaching of Jesus, pour any meaning we want into it, and then insist that's what Jesus meant by it. I believe Jesus said and believed that the peacemakers are blessed. Do you? And I believe that Jesus himself was the epitome of what it means to be a peacemaker. But let's let the life of Jesus define what this peace is and how we make it, and not come up with some kind of romantic notions and pour that into this word and then make Jesus conform to it. Does that make sense? You understand? So what kind of peace does Jesus want us to make? His life and his teachings show us what peacemaking is not. Peacemaking is not compromise at any price. Peacemaking is not ever having a violent thought or action. Peacemaking is not never losing your temper, never speaking hard words. Whatever peacemaking is, it can't be that, because that wasn't what Jesus did. It isn't how Jesus acted. I want to suggest to you that peacemaking and Jesus' blessing on the peacemaker has a very specific meaning. That what Jesus is talking about is an intimate kind of peace, a relational kind of peace, that has meaning for us about our closest relationships. Peacemaking is not about insisting to Israel that they make peace with the Palestinians. That's not what Jesus had in mind. Peacemaking is not trying to be at peace with complete strangers. That's not what Jesus had in mind. What Jesus had in mind was people who value peace so much. People who loved authentic peace in their relationships. That those people are willing to go the extra mile, turn the other cheek, find ways to reconcile, find ways to forgive, so that when difficulties arrive in their relationships, their instinct is to make peace because they value relationships. I want to suggest to you that Jesus shows us what it means to be a peacemaker by the way he deals with Peter. Peter was not an easy man for Jesus to live with. Do you understand that? He was headstrong, loud-mouthed, impetuous, crude,
Peter's bumblings and fumblings are to be found throughout the gospel accounts, but especially that last few hours. Peter blew it again and again and again. Jesus wants to wash his feet. No, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus tells him, Peter, you're going to betray me. Peter says, no, you're sadly mistaken. They go to the garden. The one thing Jesus asks is, Peter, would you watch and pray? But man, what is Peter doing? He's gone. He's asleep. And when the soldiers come, who is it who has the sword? And he takes the sword and cuts off poor Malchus's ear. And then who runs away in the darkness, scared to death, that not only are they going to take Jesus, they're going to take him too. And when that little housemaid around the fire comes up to Peter and says, hey, you're with him. You're one of his followers. What did Peter say? Not me. I don't know the man. And yet you have that beautiful picture at the end of John of Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, having made breakfast for his disciples, taking Peter aside, walking with him, and saying, Peter, do you love me? I need you to feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I love you. I'm not giving up on you. I have a mission for you to accomplish. You may be disappointed with yourself. I wish you hadn't done some of the things you did. But Peter, I love you, and I am with you, and I'm not giving up on you, and I'm willing to forgive you. Let's reconcile, and let's go on to do the work God has given us to do. That is being a peacemaker. Jesus shows us what it means. Hold it. Yeah. He shows us what it means to be a peacemaker with his disciples. When James and John come to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, we want the chief seats when you come to your kingdom. When Thomas has his doubts when Jesus appears after the resurrection. When Philip panics because there's not enough bread to go around to feed this great crowd. When all of them get terrified in the storm, forgetting that Jesus is in the boat there with them. When they're walking down the road to Jerusalem, Jesus knowing that in just a few days he has a meeting with a cross, and they're arguing about which of them is the greatest. Jesus demonstrates what it means to be a peacemaker. There are certain people Jesus will not give up on. There are certain people Jesus will not throw away. There are certain people he's not going to draw a line in the sand and say, if you cross that, I'm done with you, buddy. There are certain people he will pursue no matter what they've done. There are certain people he will forgive. There are certain people he is going to reconcile with because he is a peacemaker. Which brings us to a different definition of making peace. To be a peacemaker is to be someone who loves people enough, loves specific people enough, our children, our spouses, the people with whom we find ourselves in the community and church. We love each other enough that we're going to do what it takes to have peace here. And if it means that you wound me and I have to forgive you for it, that's what I'm going to do because I'm a peacemaker. If it means that you disappoint me and we have
to sit down and have a Starbucks and talk it out. That's what we're going to do. I'll even buy the coffee because I'm a peacemaker. If you have a difference over some opinion or some practice, we're going to find a way to reach common ground because we're peacemakers and we value the peace of the kingdom. That's what this peacemaking Jesus is talking about really does mean. Even for Christians, we're going to have our share of conflicts. Maybe not especially Christians, although we do seem prone to some conflict, don't we? What distinguishes us from the world is not that we don't fight while they do. We don't have conflicts while they do. What distinguishes us from the world is how we handle conflict when it comes up, how we handle difficulties with our children, in our marriages, and in our church. Because we are peacemakers, there are some people we don't get to throw away. There are some people we don't get to dismiss as having no worth. There are some people we can't just erect a barrier and say, you stay on your side and I'll stay on mine. Because we're peacemakers, with each other especially, we're going to tear down the walls that separate us. We're going to break down the barriers that keep us apart. We're going to find a way to restore our relationship, to protect our relationship, to value our relationship, because we're peacemakers. And peace in the kingdom of God is vastly more important than my opinion or your ugliness or the mistakes of what we say and do. There's a great temptation as we talk about peace to depersonalize peace. To think about peace in grand terms. To laud and long for world peace. To focus more on the big picture peace than the down in the dirt, gritty, everyday you and me sort of peace. But I believe the peacemaking Jesus is talking about is the kind that we practice not with strangers, but with those we love most and hold closest. So, I'm almost done. This used to be yellow too, by the way. I want to point out something for you to think about. You've seen this before. I think Ron and Alfonso have shown you this slide before. There's a progression to the Beatitudes. I want you to think about the fact that poverty of spirit and mourning have to do with dealing with ourselves. That meekness and hunger and thirst for righteousness is how we deal with God. That mercy and purity of heart, honesty, wisdom, living, those are things we owe everyone as Christians. But when we get down to peacemaking and persecution, we're talking specifically about how we deal with each other. As we'll talk about next week, persecution is always an inside job. The kind of persecution you and I deal with isn't the kind where they're lining us up against the wall and threatening to shoot us for being Christians. There are those who deal with that, but the kind of persecution we deal with every day is the kind we perpetrate on one another. Peacemaking, blessing those who curse us. Those have a context of the people we love the most. Would you think about that? For they will be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who understand it's how we treat the ones closest to us that demonstrate who we are in the kingdom. It's how far we're willing to go with children, spouse, brothers and sisters in the church that really shows how serious we are about discipleship. When we understand what it means to be a peacemaker, when we're willing to lay down our ego and lay down our hurt feelings in order to make peace. When we're willing to forgive, when we're willing to reconcile, that's when someone is going to call us the children of God. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, when you and I love peace to treat each other in the way God has treated us, the world looking on, the world watching the way we behave with each other, the world watching us keep difficult marriages together, the world watching us respond to children in times of difficulty with patience and forgiveness and love and sacrifice. The world watching us as a church, determined to put each other above ourselves, to fight for each other rather than our opinions, to value our harmony more than my pride or my prejudices. The world looking on and seeing that is going to stand up and say, there. That's how children of God act. You can't explain that in any other way. We certainly don't act that way. We don't know how to act like that. But look at there. Those people do. That's peacemaking. And that's a mark of being the children of God. Would you think about that some this week? Would you have a talk with your spouse whom you were fighting with on the drive here this morning and you need to go make peace with? Would you think about that if there's somebody in this church who's hurt you or said something that's wounded you? Would you think about whether or not you can take peace seriously and then show us what you're willing to do in order to forgive and reconcile and make peace again? Here's what Jesus was willing to do for each of you. He was willing to die to make peace with you. He loves you that much. And if you want to respond in a way that says, thank you, I want to be at peace, we have an opportunity to do that. If you want to make a new commitment to God, there's baptism. If you want to come and say, I have taken the peace of God for granted, I want to embrace it again, let us pray for you. We want to give you a chance to say, I want to make peace before I leave this building today. With God, with each other, with the people who are closest in my life. So if you want to take advantage of that opportunity, we can do it right now. Let's stand and sing.